FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and well, today is 9/15/20. We just had the 19th anniversary of 9/11. I'm sure you remember what you were doing then. I certainly remember where I was. And, well, New York City didn't see fit to honor the people involved. They did put up a couple of laser lights, but there were no ceremonies or anything else because we all know that demonstrations and riots take precedence over national events and national holidays, although technically it's not a national holiday, but it's always been treated as such. Well, what's your opinion about that? How do you feel about the way that New York City and state's leaders, and I use that term in quotes, have been behaving recently? And we'll get the take on that from our good friend, Dr. Carol Lieberman. And Dr. Lieberman, it's great to have you back on. So, you know, 9/11 was really a watershed event for the country. Everything changed after that. And a lot of children who grew up then, probably mine as well, still traumatized by it. How do you work with your kids on this to help them understand what happened and to accept it and not be traumatized?
Well, you know, it makes it a lot harder to communicate appropriately with your children about it when there's a movement afoot to pretend that 9/11 never happened. This has been every year since 9/11, the recognition of it has become smaller and smaller, but this year was the worst. And the usual major ceremony where people read the names of their loved ones who they lost was nixed, with the excuse of coronavirus. And fortunately, another organization, Tunnels to Towers, took it up and put an alternative ceremony. It was much smaller. It was much, more just put together in a couple of weeks. But they did have relatives come there and say the names. And the significance of that isn't just to honor the victims and the people. It's not just the people who died on 9/11, but it's the people who have been dying and continue to die because of being first responders or being people who cleaned up the debris of 9/11 and all of the, who got, mainly are getting sick with cancer because of the toxins in it and so on. But it's also, the importance is also so that when we see them on the verge of tears and sometimes crying, actually, when they read the names, that is the way that we can connect with the emotion. And it's not just the reading of the names. They had the names being read at the major ceremony with just a recording. But so you don't feel the same emotion that you do when you see an actual person there reading the names. So it gets a little harder each year. And apparently the New York Times didn't have anything in it about 9/11. It's like not. Now it's become not politically correct to mention what happened on 9/11. I mean, the whole thing is absurd, especially since terrorists have not forgotten about us. We may be preoccupied with coronavirus and the elections and all kinds of other things, the riots and so on. But terrorists have not given up on what they still plan to do to America and to the West. So, to get to your roundabout way of it, getting to your question, we need to keep teaching kids about 9/11. We need to keep recognizing that kids who were not only kids who were alive then, who were children then, not only have they been traumatized, but even children who weren't born yet, anybody who grew up with parents who were living in the shadow of 9/11 have been affected. And in particular, They've been affected by absorbing the helpless feeling that their parents had. And that is what is making them tend to go towards socialism, because they want big government to take care of them.
That's an interesting premise. I never really thought of it, but it makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the government's never really been honest about what exactly happened that day, about the subsequent investigations, why we were left as a sitting duck. And then we've been in these endless wars ever since. So the government, they're looking to the very same government to make them feel better that caused the whole thing in the first place.
Well, I don't know that, I'm not sure that I agree that the government, how do you think the government caused it?
Well, we know that we were at war with the Islamic fundamentalists for years, but that particularly President Clinton, they had the wall so that the CIA couldn't tell what the FBI was doing, so nobody was talking to each other. And they had these guys. They were watching them. They knew who they were, and yet they wound up doing nothing, which has become an alarming pattern since 9/11. All these terrorist attacks that occur, 75% of them, the FBI is aware of these people, but does nothing.
Well, yes. Okay. You know, certainly Obama was the worst of, he was basically handing our country to the over to the terrorists. So yes, in that sense, that's true. I mean, a lot has happened. President Trump has done a lot, you know, destroying the caliphate and a couple of the leaders and so on. So we are safer in a way, but people, I think, are being lulled into this false sense of security. There was just a poll that showed that on the whole, approximately half the people think that we're as safe now as we were before 9/11. And I mean, that's, in a way, that's true, because we weren't safe before 9/11.
So true. Absolutely true. Could not agree with you more. Hey, let's move on to 9/11. We agree the failure to observe it, to recognize it, is really a crime. And it's similar to knocking down statues, if you will. There's an analogy to be found there. But let's go on to COVID here.
Well, let me just mention one other thing. You know, 9/11, I'm a born and bred New Yorker. And although I was living in California at the time of 9/11, it changed my life, because after that, that is when I decided to become the terrorist therapist and to help people recover from the memories of 9/11, which are still haunting us, with things like the obesity crisis, alcohol and drug abuse, suicide, all kinds of anxiety, depression, PTSD, all the things that are now being exacerbated by coronavirus, but also helping them with that and helping to live in a world where we are still threatened by terrorism. So I, you know, this has been a major part of my life since 9/11. And so that is why it is particularly, and I have helped. You know, I've traveled, I've written two books about terrorism. I've traveled around the world speaking about terrorism and surviving in a world where there's that ongoing threat and so on, and thriving, not just surviving. And so so I know how people, I mean, I know firsthand how people really are being affected and need this help and need to be, we all need to be taking better care of ourselves and acting as if we're in a practicing for a marathon, where we make ourselves physically and psychologically healthier in order to survive in this world and keep you know, going after our dreams.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree with you more. And it really did have a profound impact. And the idea of not recognizing it. I mean, I was there, not in Manhattan, but 10 miles north when it happened, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, and nobody else should. And those who do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it,
yes,
as they say. So,
and you know, it's when you compare how the country was after 9/11. I mean, how we united and how there were those brave people running in, saving people in the Twin Towers and on Flight 93 and all of that, the bravery. And you compare it with the state of the of America today. That is really the most depressing part. You know, how now people are the rioters are taking over where the 9/11 terrorists left off.
Yes. No, I could not agree with you more. And it's really disgusting. And we need some way, some means of coming together. Speaking of not being together, let's look at our COVID-19 situation here. Blue states in particular are closed down. Red states are rapidly reopening. In fact, here where I am in Florida, we had 22 deaths the day before yesterday. I don't know how many. I think we had 8 yesterday. And the governor has rapidly moved to reopen. And in my opinion, not quickly enough, because all of the everything that's happened to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19 seems to have been a failure and seem to have been kind of like somebody's, as an analogy to 9/11, when you go to the airport and, you know, they're checking your bags and groping you and scanning you. We call that security theater. And here we have a pandemic theater where, if you just wear a mask, and you're a doctor, so you tell me, if you just wear a makeshift mask that might just be as have the consistency of a lady's stockings, pantyhose, how am I preventing the spread of COVID?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yes. What's so unfortunate is that everything is, you know, so politically motivated. And I mean, you know, instead of stopping the major spread, well, there are two major causes of the spread of COVID. One, but the biggest one is all of these rioters and looters and statue topplers who are running around either without masks. I mean, some of them wear masks, but they're not really covering their nose and mouth. They're certainly not 6 feet apart. That is the biggest cause of COVID spread. And then, of course, the students who have these parties
does it really matter? They're young.
Well, but I mean, you know, for some of them, it matters. Some of them who may not realize that they have some underlying condition. I mean, they're just angry. You know, they're rebellious. They feel invincible. You can certainly understand why they're doing it. But I think more should be put in place to. I think a lot. Most of it is rebelling against some of these ridiculous rules.
Yeah, and they are ridiculous, And really, I mean, I just resent it. I feel like wearing a mask is like wearing a yellow star in Germany in the 30s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel it stigmatizes you. And if you don't wear it, then you are not being socially correct, politically correct, and you're endangering lives. You're a potential murderer. And this is ridiculous, doctor. I mean, you know this. We know now that only of all the people who died, 6% didn't have comorbidities. That's not to say that there aren't people passed on would otherwise be alive but for COVID-19. But the vast majority of them in nursing homes, their days on Earth, unfortunately, were limited. And for this, we've shut down the global economy and created these riots. I think there's a direct link. And what do we do about it here?
Yes. Well, you know, of course, one thing, though, is that the horrendous thing that went on in New York, where Cuomo sent COVID positive people back into nursing homes. I mean, to that extent, that was murder. And I think he should be tried criminally for that. But, you know, on the whole, I mean, the real, you know, and Fauci, of course, you know, Fauci has not done anything to help America deal with coronavirus. He has just put more stress on us, telling us more and more outrageous things about how to wear gloves and not shake hands. And I mean, you know, and how now he's saying, I'm sure you know, that we're not going to be able to return to regular life or not be without masks until 2021. I mean, just each day he comes out with something more. And of course, primarily it has to do with wanting people to get vaccines that in some way he would benefit.
Bill Gates vaccines, right?
Well, yeah. I don't know which the ones that would somehow benefit him
Moderna.
From NIH or
Moderna.
Yes, I don't know which company he's, I mean, But in any case, he does seem to, he puts down anything else that could possibly help, like hydroxychloroquine, and just tells everybody to wait for the vaccine. I mean, the whole thing is, meanwhile, what we need to be doing is just concentrating on our own immune system, doing all the things that will improve our immune system, from eating healthy food, to getting enough sleep, to getting enough exercise, being in the sun, taking vitamins, and so on, rather than being terrified and stressed out.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I just as a point of information, I'm 63. I'm taking hydroxychloroquine. I have slightly high blood pressure, but my feeling is, hey, I'm in that getting close to the at-risk portion of the population. If it cuts my chances by 10% of getting it, it's worth it, because this is one of the most prescribed drugs on earth. My cardiologist is discussing it with. He took hydroxychloroquine for several years when he was in Africa, and he's treated patients who had COVID and actually saved them through the prescription of hydroxychloroquine. So for these people to cast aspersions upon the drug that it's going to somehow injure your heart, yeah, maybe if you take too much of it, it will. But the fact is, the drug is safe, and I've had zero side effects.
Well, that's good to hear that. You're lucky that you have a doctor who is prescribing it. You know, a lot of doctors have been frightened off of prescribing it because, you know, they've been threatened by their medical board and their pharmacists. And I mean, it's really absurd that it should be left up to the doctor to decide.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that we had patient-centered, treatments that depended upon the doctor and the patient.
Yeah.
Consultation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's all disheartening for sure. Give us something to be happy about here, doctor.
Okay.
You're the psychiatrist.
Well, I think the thing to be happy about is what I was saying, that really a lot of the control about this is all in our hands. And I say people should wear a mask if they want or not wear one if they want. That it should be up to each person to gather all the information and to make the decisions for themselves. That's the key. And I mean, yes, of course, if you walk into a store and you don't have a mask, you might be mobbed by the people in the store. But I mean, you know, aside from that, I think everyone needs to gather facts and decide for themselves, but primarily work on improving their immune system, including with things like an hour a day of laughter. You know, that's what Norman Cousins did. He cured himself of a potentially fatal disease. And I mean, we know not just from Norman Cousins, but since then there has been lots of research. And so if everybody just laughed for an hour a day, whether that's cartoons with your kids or romantic comedies or whatever, and did all these other things that I was saying about keeping your body healthy, as well as, you know, decreasing the stress with laughter, we wouldn't have to worry so much about all these other things, and we would be able to get back to feeling productive and getting the economy to continue to recover.
I could agree with you more. And if you can't find anything to laugh about, watch Joe Biden attempting a press conference, reading off the teleprompter. If that doesn't crack you up, then you don't have a funny bone or a sense of humor, right?
That's right. I mean, I can't wait for the debate. I am just when he can't just read off a teleprompter.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Dr. Lieberman, just tell us where we find you on the web and your show and all that.
Sure. Well, there's drcarole.com, drcarole.com, and terroristtherapist.com. And I do a weekly show, a terrorist therapist show. And I still do research into this every week to find the hottest news on terror. And that's how I know that the terrorists have used this time to increase their recruits, not forget about us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Hey, any questions, comments for the good doctor? Myself, email is kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. And got a couple more hours. We extended the contest, so you can win a 1/2 ounce of gold. Just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com/contest. Enter. It's free. And you'll get either a 1/2 ounce of gold or $1,000, whichever is worth more, on the drawing date, which will be September 25th, 2020 at high noon. Thanks so much, Doctor. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.